Eurovision.
Quick fire ratings.
Ireland's number one Eurovision podcast.
You really should not like this song, but you can't help it.
If I listen to your song while I brush my teeth, like, I'm obsessing over the song.
This is boring. This is really... How did this win, honestly? But then, you know, it's Denmark. God bless them.
God bless them.
It's a crap rebound.
I think I did give it room to grow, and it did not grow. It died a death.
Mop up. Put on a positive spiel.
I'm actually not going to do that.
I have a feeling that we could be upset.
Just because you have a feeling doesn't mean it's a fact.
Stop talking.
GAE back in August Sport a rat to the Eurovision podcast. Happy Friday, TGIF. Hope your week is going well and you're looking forward to the weekend. Hope you've enjoyed another week of quick fire ratings. We are coming towards the end, but in better news, that means we're coming to the beginning of Eurovision rehearsals and the real kickoff of Eurovision season. Stuff is getting real now. It's myself, Lou, joined by Connor. Who's Tati?
Tommy go on a wa, August Tufane.
Tom Cabra. A new Bay Magic play. Today we'll be talking about Netherlands, Norway, Poland, which Connor and I just discovered before hitting record that we have not discussed any of these countries properly on the podcast together because, loyal listeners, you'll remember I covered the Netherlands with Alex a couple of months ago and Connor covered Norway and Poland with Alex a couple of months ago. So that's a bit of crack. Before we get properly stuck in, though, Connor, myself and Alex, all the team here, would like to offer our warm congrats to Glenn and Joe, two amazing Eurovision podcast listeners who got married this day last week. Woo-hoo-hoo! They did the thing. They've gotten married. Congrats. Hope it was a very Eurovision-y wedding. We know Glenn's a big Niamh Kavanagh fan, so we hope you were streaming in your eyes and it's for you. And yeah, congrats from all of us here.
Congratulations from Team Eurovision.
Many happy years ahead.
And hopefully see you at an event very, very soon.
Yep, absolutely. Absolutely. I want another Eurovision wedding, lads. Shout out to
Kieran
and Mark.
You're next.
I reckon.
Mm?
You know something I don't.
Come on, Sam, boy. Come on, Lou. Hurry up now.
Oh, lads. Netherlands, Norway, Poland. This is going to be a big one, I think, Connor.
Yeah. No, yeah. I think so too. We'll kick it off, though, I guess, with our first country up for discussion. It is the Netherlands. And of course, they're back this year. Thank God, because of course, last year we had the whole controversy and they got kicked out because of Jos Klein and all that. But they're back this year with Claude with the song C'est la vie.
Claude with C'est la vie. Connor, I would like you to take it away because I've spoken on the podcast about this and you haven't fully, to my knowledge.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So this song has grown on me in recent weeks. But in saying that, I think I'm going to give this the title of probably one of the most overrated entries this year. I just do not understand the appeal of this as an amazing entry. It's good, it's solid, it's sung well. Vocally, he's very good live. But I just don't think there's anything real special about it. There's no Shazam moment in it. It kind of stays consistent melodically across the board. There's no big wow moment. It's just a solid song. But the hype of it is just... But I don't know if it's Claude's story that is what people are basing it on that, you know, gives this extra special meaning. But I just can't connect with the song and I don't see what people love about it, to be honest. But in saying that, it has grown on me in recent weeks. It's a solid song, but special, I don't see it. I don't see it. What about yourself?
Fair enough, Connor. I know when I chatted to Alex, she really loved this. I'd say I fall between the two of you a little bit. I do really, really enjoy this and I think this is one of those songs that is top quality. I think it's going to get a lot of flowers from the jury, presuming it gets into the final, of course. If you look on Eurovision Hub's YouTube, I always think there's a good kind of measure there where Micheál every year gets the acts of Melody Festivalen to react to some of this year's Eurovision entries. And they are, you know, the caliber of people we tend to have on juries, singer-songwriters, you know, participating in national finals and so on. And year on year, they always tend to back a bit of a jury favourite, you know, like last year they loved Switzerland and so on. And this year they all loved the Netherlands, which I thought was really interesting because there were so many kind of crazy songs in that mix that Micheál gave them, like, you know, Kant and Finland and Norway and all the rest. And a lot of them went for the Netherlands, which I just thought was an interesting measure of how a jury might go. I think for me, this is so pleasant on the year. And I agree with a portion of what you're saying there, Connor. It does need a bit of its wow moment, maybe because a lot of it's been kind of behind closed doors or like performed in a very polished fashion on Dutch telly. It's hard to really know what we'll get when it actually comes to the rehearsals. Will the Dutch keep a similar vibe of the slick, polished kind of performances we've seen, or is do they have a trick up their sleeve, basically? That's what I'm wondering with this. I did see on a recent performance that went up on the Eurovision Instagram that he has tried out a bit of a dance break in one of his performances, and I thought it was kind of cool, but Sam didn't rate it at all. It was interesting. I was like, oh, this is really cool, and he was like, oh, I don't like that at all.
And you're so, the gal who has been sick of dance breaks now, which yeah, is cool. Interesting take.
I've noticed, I don't think I'm misogynistic, but I seem to prefer it from the lads. Do you know what it is? It's just when the girls get on the floor, I'm like, get up off the floor, it's dirty down there. Remember that Turin stage? That was rotten.
Where was the window lean?
They should have cleaned it. I remember saying that.
Give it a bit of a wipe.
Poor Chanel.
And there was the whole thing. People were saying, oh, they have to take off the protective cover of it. They clearly didn't. It was clearly just a filthy floor.
It was an awful floor. And you could see the cross. And it's terrible. Yeah. Anyway.
That was a very smelly arena as well. I remember that walking in. Just jogged a memory there. I remember walking in. You know that kind of weird sewage?
Oh, God.
Heat. And yeah, it was a weird... Turin was a mess. Just anyway, go on.
It was. Netherlands, though. Claude is an amazing artist. He's like really up and coming in the Netherlands. The kids there all love him. You know, he's kind of that like rising star, winning awards left, right and centre. Very viral song last summer. So a really good pick. And I'm glad they got somebody so current, given the PR disaster that was Jost Klein last year, you know. I'm finding it so hard to kind of even rank this or know how it's going to do, but I just have to go off my gut and know that I do really enjoy this. I am streaming it moderately, not one of my most streamed, but I am streaming it a little bit and enjoying it in that sense. And I wait with bated breath, really, for this live performance. I wonder what our listeners think, though, Connor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we'll kick it off with the question boxes. Kelly Roach said, I really hope they use similar choreography in the staging of this. She gave it an 8.5 and said it was a quality song and the voice is delicious. Trevor Joyce gave it a 9. Owen and Ian, 9.6. Very specific. An 8. Annette gave it a 7. Solid but a little bland. Wish he included Dutch like most of his songs. Sneaky winner if good staging. Jacqueline Burke gave it a 3. Meh. Comey Keane gave it an 8. Sparky D gave it a 9.5. Loved this. Jack gave it a 7. Patter, 7. Bren gave it an 8.5 out of 10. Could be a potential winner out of nowhere. PM Inch, 5 out of 10. It's the most mid song of the year, in my opinion. Usually love what the Netherlands send, but not this year, unfortunately. Steve Lynch, I want to like this more than I do. He gave it a 7. My sister gave it a 7. Emma gave it a 9.5. J'adore. Leon Smith, 6.5. Dave Mackin, 8 out of 10. And Adam G, 8.5. Leo, any more?
D gives it a 5, saying, feel like I should like this more. Love the sentiment, but it doesn't take up headspace. 10 from our pal Shane. 7 from Angus, a very solid studio track. 6.5 from Patrick. 9 from Strictly Jonathan. Bewitched at Eurovision. Love it. Kian gives it a 9. What a comeback from the Netherlands. The flow between the two languages is flawless. 10 from Declan. 8 from Nathan. It's brilliant. However, there's no winner moment in this song. I can see a top 5 for this. 7.4 from Dar, saying bop. 6 from Sam. 7 from Scott. 7 from Adam McCallig. 8.5 from P. Cronin. 4 from DJW. 8 from Estelle. Hello, Estelle. I think you're a new voter here. 6 from Kate. Well sung and inoffensive, lacking any real attraction for me. And I'll finish with the 7 from Mike Stagramming. Pleasant, but not competitive. Interesting. I love that this is in French when you think that he's from the Congo and that's actually his first language, and moving to the Netherlands, you know, he would have been learning Dutch, and he's obviously learned a bit of English as well, and there's English in the song. No Dutch in the song, interestingly. But on reflection, Connor, like, it's cool to think that the Netherlands have upped their game so much since that Anouk moment, like, that they have a song that at least people are talking about. It's not the duds of the past that we used to see from Dutch. What's your score, though?
Kate summed it up perfectly. Inoffensive. And I think for that, it's just a 4.
Well, yep. Ash. Well, Ash. I've given this an 8. I really, really like this. I really rate it. Just outside of my top 10, just about. But I love my top 10 this year. It's like nearly all 9s and 10s for me up there. So the overall Eurovision and listeners score for the Netherlands is 7.48. So that's pretty strong.
Strong.
Quite strong. Strong score. Going up towards that 8, definitely in our top 10 so far. So it's not a bad result. We're going over to another kind of pop boy, another kind of a stronghold, I would say, in the contest, this next country. What do you think, Connor?
Yeah, I would say that. And it, of course, is Norway. And we have a very close link to Norway this year because, of course, we are sending Emmy. But we're going to be talking about Kyle Alessandro from Norway with his song Lighter. Lighter from Norway, the winner of MGP Melody Grand Prix 2025. And Lighter, Kyle Alessandro. Ilu, as you said at the start of the episode, we actually haven't talked about this this country together on the podcast. So I'll let you kick it off. And how are you feeling about Lighter?
Sure, yeah. I haven't really touched on this much on the pod. This is a really, really strong, solid package. You know, the two words, strong, solid. Norway are so incredibly lucky he was in the Melody Grand Prix lineup, because I know we've discussed in the past, it really wasn't a great year for Melody Grand Prix. Kind of ironic that like a second Norway entry got through via Ireland, if you know what I mean, Norwegian-Irish entry. And kind of hilarious that like a party was written in that songwriting camp and passed over by NRK, but there we have it. They're very lucky Kyle was in the mix anyway, because I think he definitely was the standout and deserved to win. He's a really strong competitor. I absolutely love the dance break in this, again, kind of like what I was saying with the Netherlands just before. I think it's a strong melody. It's catchy. He's very, very likable. I can't believe how young he is. He's so, so talented. Definitely not the last we've seen of this young performer. I imagine he'll be back in Eurovision in some capacity. Again, kind of an interesting thing, you know, the theme of this song, it's dedicated to his mum who was struggling through an illness. And when you think of Slovenia's song taking a totally different approach, you know what I mean, with the really somber how much time do we have left, to this strong, you know, lighter, I'll be my own lighter, nothing can bring me down, a real song of strength. And I really admire that, actually. I really like that kind of theme in a song. It's so hard to know how this will do, though. Like, if you told me, like, oh yeah, this is getting into the top 10, I'd be like, fair. And if you told me, like, oh, this will get forgotten in the middle of the pack, I'd be like, fair. This is definitely getting into the final, I think, from semi-final one. I really hope it's not at the bottom of the scoreboard, because that wouldn't be deserved. I felt for Norway last year, as Gutta, they just got totally forgotten in that televote. But I think the televote will be stronger for this one. Kyle's very likable. I was watching this performance earlier and I was thinking, Norway love a bit of a theme, don't they? Like, you know, with Alessandra, Queen of the Kings, nearly that kind of regal. They like a bit of a pirate theme, nearly like a
warrior.
Yeah, they like that kind of like mystical character vibe. You know, I suppose going back to their like Viking roots and stuff, it's a bit of fun. I like what Norway do. And I like what they bring to the contest. So overall, I think this is really strong, really solid. I don't think they're on to another Eurovision winner. But Norway historically has the most last places in Eurovision. And I really don't think this should be a last place either. What do you think, Connor?
Yeah, I really love this entry. I remember initially I wasn't a massive fan of it. I think just because of the overall quality of MGP this year was very, very low. And this, like you said, stood out like a sore thumb, really, because it was the only high quality entry and only Eurovision worthy entry that they could have sent. And they picked the right choice, obviously. And, you know, as time has gone on, as the pre-party season has gone on, I've grown to really like it and it's creeped into my top five personally. I really like it. It's just a very easy song to stream. It's catchy. It's got a great hook. When it comes to the live performance, though, I still want more. I think the dance break is good, but I feel like I could do with more energy and more of an intense dance break just to, you know, when you listen to the song, it's quite intense, you know, the doom, doom, doom. But the dance moves that they're doing doesn't really match it, I feel. I think it's not half arse. I think that might be a bit harsh on them, but, you know, I think you can go, you can hit it more. You can nearly give like a Chanel dance break to that kind of beat that's going on in the ear at the same time. As well, the kind of echoes back to Alexander Rybak, you know, with the violin, the strings going on towards the end. Give me more of that. I want to hear more. Make that come in a bit sooner. It's kind of a bit late towards maybe the last 30 seconds of the song. Vocally, he's amazing. We've seen him at the pre-parties. He's obviously, there was questions about MGP. Obviously, we know autotune is used for that national final. Live pre-parties, he has been killing it. So there's no doubt that he can sing the song live. But yeah, I just want more. Give me more because I think he can do it. We saw him a few years ago in MGP. Was it the year before? I think it was 23. Either 23 or 24. He was a part of like a boy band. It was like Geronimo.
Yeah.
And I watched it back, funny enough, just to see what it was like. And he stuck out like a sore thumb, Kyle, because you can just tell.
A lot of sore thumbs in this episode.
Isn't there? Isn't there? I love that phrase. But he stuck out because you could just tell he was the star nearly of the group. He was just giving the camera like looks and, you know, he knew the dance moves, but the other lads were kind of vibing. So you could just tell he was going to be the star out of the boy band. And clearly he has because he's gone on to be a solo artist now at Eurovision. So I want to see that more in the performance. And I love what you said about the deep meaning of the song, obviously dedicated to his mother, as you said. But it's not that direct, you know, inspirational message with how much time do we have left of like, you know, we're really, really hitting the nail on the head. With sticking out like a sore thumb. But you know, just going for, you know, the We Are One message. It's that cool, inventive way of getting a deep, meaningful message across without being clearly obvious. And I love that. So props to Norway, yeah. And I agree with you. I don't think it's gonna be bottom at all. I do get what you're saying. How well can it do? It's either gonna be top 10 or kind of bottom ish, but I think it can finish.
I think the left-hand side is very possible here.
Yeah, I think like 12th.
Because juries will like it as well.
Yeah, maybe just outside the top 10. But I think if they exhale and everything, I don't see not why possible. People aren't going to vote for it.
And you know? It would help him if like Netherlands, Cyprus, Belgium all kind of flopped. You know, those kind of dance boy
This
tracks.
Song is probably the only song out of that grouping that is mainstream. Mm. You know, I wouldn't be... Wouldn't feel abnormal to hear this on Spin.
Yeah.
Or 2FM, you know. Mm. It fit in very nicely with the radio tunes of Irish radio, I guess.
And Irish people love a fiddle.
Yeah, they do.
They do.
They do indeed.
I love that in the song, Kyle keeps singing his country's name in an Australian accent. Norway.
Well, he's saying no way. No way.
Yeah, but he should change it to Norway. Mm. Norway. Norway. I hear he said we're in Northern Ireland. Norway. All right. Scores then.
Yes, let's get into them. So we're going to kick it off with Dancer Kevin, who gave this a solid 8. Killian gave it a 9. Carrie gave it an 8. Saul Brown gave it a 7.5. Luke George gave it a 7 out of 10. Great song. Loved the Latin style beat and he does a great performance. Ben gave it an 8 out of 10. Not Norway's best, but still will do well. Chris gave it a 7. Solid bop. Kean, 8. Adele gave it a 7. Dean, 7. ESC Crow, 7.5. Great song and an amazing talent at a young age. Dylan Colley, a 7. Stacey, 8. Anna, 7. Fairy Cat 101, 6, hated it at first, but it's a grower. Norway is usually my favourite ESC country. Niall gave it a 6.5, Sped 6, Ole Re 7, Ellen, 9 out of 10, one of my favourite songs of the year. Kyle commands the stage even at 19. Bud O'Leary, 6, Eurovision Wood Projects, 10, Eurovision Fan, 8, Such a Good Boy Boot. Toby gave it an 8.5, Aoife, 8, Ash Lennon, 7, Like It, Nothing Special But Enjoyable, and Leah gave it a 6 out of 10. Kyle's a great performer, song is okay. Any more there, Lou?
Kelly says 5 out of 10, song is fine but very generic. Mikael Doherty, 4, just fine, this is a bit basic to be honest. 2 from Topher Joyce, 10 from Owen O'Neill, 10 from Annette, biggest banger of the year, I won't hear anything else, I want to adopt him as my son. Intense, love that for you. Get the papers. 4, great performance from Original Deck, 7 from Sparky D, 7 from Call Me T Keen, 8 from Jack Keach, 8.5 from Patter, 7 from Peter Binch. It's the type of slick radio friendly song that Sweden would usually send. Juries will love it in my opinion. 6 from Stephen Lynch, 8 from Brenn O'Keefe, 7 from Stephen P. Lynch. Oh, Stephen, you've given us 2 scores, 6 or 7. No, they both ended in the spreadsheet anyway. 8.5 from Emma, loving this, had to warm to it, but I really like it now. 6.5 from your sister, Connor, and a solid 7 from Dee, and an 8 from Killian Smith. And I'll call out 3 more because they're our pals. 9 from Adam G, 9 from Dave Mackin, and 7 from Shane. All right, Connor, my score for this one is an 8.
I'm not too far off. I gave it an 8.5. And when we compile all of our votes together alongside your votes at home, Norway gets an average of 7. Bang on 7. Which is probably our most consistent score we've ever seen, ever.
7.005 to be precise.
Yeah.
Yes. So. That's quite a good score. Like, solid 7.
Yeah.
You know, you can't go wrong. I did think it would be slightly higher.
Mm-hmm.
But it's still good. It's respectable. Very much so.
Very good.
All right. We're off to... Do you know what, Connor? I need you to introduce this one.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, we are off to the beautiful land of Poland to talk about an icon, a returning legend, 30 years on from her first performance back in Dublin. She's back. The bitch is back. We are going to be talking about Poland and Justyna Skoczka with Gaia.
No pronunciation issues there.
No, absolutely not, ladies that. And gentlemen, yeah, boys and girls.
Didn't realise that you were part Polish there, Connor.
Just in recent weeks.
Proud to be Polish as a completely Irish man. Oh my gosh.
Poland.
Well, would you like to go first?
I don't mind. I feel like we're very positive about
Polish. I'll go first quickly. I think... We haven't discussed this together, actually, but there's a very funny video of us at London Eurovision party. What would you say, like, desperately clinging on to each other so that we can jump
drunk.
At the same time?
Drunk.
But, like, we both have glasses on and we're wailing in each other's faces.
We're wearing Emmy's brother style glasses.
Yeah.
Dancing to Gaia in London. And we're Irish.
I was so in it with you, Connor, that like if one of us had fallen, I would have just gone with you. I would have taken you with me. I mean, it was more likely to be me at that moment in time, let's be honest. If any of you saw me in London, I was having the time of life. But it's such a good song. Like, it's throwback-ish in a modern way, if that makes any sense. It reminds me so much of that 2000s Eurovision that I grew up with. But at the same time, it doesn't... feel dated in a negative way. It's got so much character to it. It's got so much personality. The pipes on Justyna, oh my God, her vocals are insane. She was going around the press room in London just going, ah! Like, it was just so iconic to hear that in person. She blessed my ears. The spinning. I love the spin. I actually just love spinning in general in Eurovision. Whenever someone starts spinning, I'm like, oh yeah, keep going. I don't know why. I just think it's great. She's flying in the air. She's been thrown around the place. She's got the choreography. She's fierce. She's mighty. I can't believe she competed in Eurovision 30 years ago. 1995, that took place in Dublin.
Mm-hmm.
About 3 weeks after I was born.
Wow.
So, if you think about it, there must be some Gaia energy in me in some way. Or her original song. I don't really remember how that one goes.
Well, it's very different to Gaia.
Yeah, seems to be.
Very different to Gaia. I recommend people go back and listen to it because it's nothing like this. Or even The Witcher from last year with her other song. Like she's completely changed, girls.
This is fantastic. This is just so much fun. This will do very, very well. You know, Polish diaspora. If they backed Blanca solo, they're going to back this. I have no doubt in my mind. And this could be one of Poland's best results in a little while. And I do hope so. I mean, we know they can get a strong televote. Do you remember they randomly came third in the televote in 2016 with the Captain Jack looking fella?
Yeah.
Tell me black or white. Yeah. This is so much fun. Connor, take us away.
I remember talking about this way back when it first came out, and I've not a lot more to add. Like, she is just iconic. Like, she's a mature lady. Like, she's in her early 50s, and she's spinning. She's up on poles. She's on the floor. She's doing everything, lads, and she does not lose one note at all. She is amazing. Like, you are captivated from the minute this song starts all the way through to the end, and it's like a whiplash. You don't know what's coming. The minute you think it's kind of losing a bit of thing, she's up in the sky, lads. Then she's on the floor. The fiddle's out. She's got the man beside her, like, high-pitched note. She's singing high up in the sky too. The dancers, everything visually. This national final performance, probably one of my favorite national final performances of the year. This was perfection. And like you said, Lou, this echoes back to why I first got into Eurovision in the 2000s. This reminds me of why I was captivated, because it was looking at entries from countries that I've never heard of at that stage and watching them and being captivated and going, what is going on? What is happening on stage? But I love it. And I didn't know what she was saying, what they're saying, but I love it. And this is exactly what Gaia is to me. It reminds me of why I first got into Eurovision, and that's why I love it so, so much. The studio track is all right, but this is a live spectacle. It's like Circus du Soleil. I think I butchered the name of that. Circus du Soleil, whatever you call it. It's like being at the circus. Like, she's incredible. She's incredible. And her voice, just simple voice, is amazing. And she's spinning. She's spinning, lads. She's spinning in circles, and she does not lose the note once. I've seen her in the pre-parties. She has not lost that vocal at all. She is amazing. Poland for top 10, I think. The televote is going to be through the roof, and I think juries should appreciate this for what it is. My note, they just need to clean it up a bit. It's a tiny bit messy from the national final performance, but when you put a Eurovision production with cameras and, you know, lighting and all like that, this is going to be absolutely amazing. And people who don't like it, you're sleeping on this, and you will love this come Eurovision week. I promise you. I promise you.
Love
and this
it.
Is coming for the top 10. This is coming for the top 10.
Yup. Love that for Poland. Let's get into some scores. 6 from Adam McCallig, 5 from Kelly. She's got some power to her voice, but the song just isn't doing it for me. 8 from Mikael Doherty, saying iconic. 100,000 from Topher Joyce, in agreement with Connor there.
Go on, Topher Joyce.
9 from Owen O'Neill, 6 from Annette, 8 from the original deck. Love this, but maybe a little chaotic. 2.5 from Sparky D, 6.5 from Comey T. Keen, 1 from Jack. I don't understand this at all. 9 from Padder. 6 from P. Minch. Song is nothing special in my opinion, but she performs the absolute bejesus out of it. That's a great comment. It's very Irish. Bren gives it a 7, saying this is the ride the wheels till the wheels fall off. Some of the comments on this are amazing. Emma gives it a 9.8. It's mad, but very much up there for me. Top
Go
3
on,
for
Emma,
me.
Taste.
D says 8. I've been humming this on repeat, in the car, in the tub, at work. Everyone's sick of me now. 4 from your sister, Connor.
Oh, she disowned.
There'll be
disowned.
Handbags. So we'll get the studio back in a room, will we? 10 from Killian Smith across the board, he says.
Go on, Killian.
10 from Adam G.
Oh, go on, Adam G.
Friendships remain. 8 from my Sam.
Go on, Sam.
7 from Dave Mackin.
Oh, Dave. Hello.
9 from Shane.
Go on, Shane.
8 from Angus, saying, Gaia!
Yes, Angus. Yes, Angus.
8 from Scott.
Go on, Scott.
8 from Aaron.
Go
I love
on,
the
Aaron.
Live reactions. 6.5 from Patrick.
Boo.
9 from Strictly Jonathan.
Come on, Jonathan.
The dance break is everything.
Yes,
he
Jonathan,
says.
Yes.
Now, Connor, please prepare yourself for this one. Kean says, if shite was a number between 1 and 10, then I'd rate it. Pop it in as a 0 into the spreadsheet, Louise.
I have to bite my tongue now. I don't want to be rude to a listener, but...
Kian's like, I think, one of our first ever listeners as well. Just remember that now.
Kian, what happened to you? Did someone upset you as a child? Do you not like Gaia? Do you not like...
Let's go to some couples counselling, Kian. We can work it out.
Yeah. Oh, come on, Kian now. Zero. Sorry, I'm going mad now. What warrants this as a zero? Like, have you heard?
That's what I was saying earlier in the earlier
episode. Some songs deserve a zero. This does not. She's spinning. She's spinning around in circles and she does not lose the note once. This is catchy. Sorry, that is ridiculous. To give this song a zero is actually disgraceful, Kian. And you have to. I want a strongly worded email from you now explaining your choices. But is there nothing good about this? Like, come on now.
Ding, ding, ding. That's taking the piss. In the red corner is Connor Devlin of the Airbnb podcast.
Love you, Kian.
In the blue corner is Kian V. Lafferty.
This is it. This is why we look quick fires, because people share their opinions, whether they're wrong or not. It's another
Connor's going to be like sat up tonight thinking about that. Actually, we're going to Alex's birthday.
No, but that's what I'm just thinking. I'm just thinking zero. Where is the zero in this?
There's one I want to call out, Connor. From Toby, pal of ours from London.
You better be a nice name.
Toby's like Michael Bublé. He just defrosts every year before London Eurovision party and we hang out with him for the night. What a legend. Toby gives us a 6, saying he preferred Connor's performance to Justina's. What about my performance? Who was there as well?
Which performance?
Oh.
Well, the guy came on a few times.
Oh, there. That's true.
Live that's performance, true. Dance that's floor. True. A lot happened.
What a time to be alive.
What a time to be alive.
Connor, anymore. Pick out the scores
I'm
that you like.
Good ones now. No, I'll be fair. Faglinton gave it an 8. Killian gave it a 5. Luke George, 10. Such a mess, but I love it. Hoping Poland gets a great result. And their first win. Yes, Luke. Love that. Ben gave it a 9 out of 10. The fact we've just seen it back after 30 years is incredible. It really, really is. And with something so different too. Eurovision Chris, 4. Not a fan of the song, but she's amazing as a performer. ESC Crow 7.5 out of 10, so original and amazing comeback. Dylan Colley 6.5, Adele 8, Stacey 7, Anna 4, Fairy Cat 101 4. Loved Poland for the last 2 years, but don't connect with this one at all. Sorry, you connect more with Luna the Tower over Gaia. Come on now.
I'm the one to build the tower. I do prefer this.
The tower was crumbling.
I do prefer this.
Ellen gave a 7 out of 10. Can't wait to see Justina throw the kitchen sink at this performance. Yes, absolutely. Ash gave it a 5. Middle of the park. Sometimes I love it, sometimes I skip it. On a studio track, I can understand that, but watch it live and you'll be hanging from the ceiling yourselves. Leah gave it an 8 out of 10. This is bonkers, over the top, and camp, and I love it. Ushin, 9. Taggy Raggy, 8.5. Forget Sweden and Albania. Just eating spinning is this year's best choreography.
Love it. Is this your winner of the year, Connor?
This is my winner of the year.
Love it.
This is my winner of the year.
Speaking of Luna, really quickly, actually, have you noticed she's like... on the road, supporting everyone. She's supporting Noreen, the Sugar Babes.
Sugar Babes, sorry.
Gosh. You know where she'll be next?
Where?
Belvedere House Gardens and Park.
As she should. Yeah. And it kind of had like a tower setting as well.
Yeah.
Crumbling tower in the back.
Yeah.
She could pop up on top now.
Absolutely. Get the diaspora to Westmead for that one.
Very good.
Connor, I am giving this a 9.
9. Mm-hmm. I'm happy with that. No surprise, I'm giving this a 10.
Woo,
this is my first 10 of the season.
Love it.
10. And oh my God, sorry, just seeing the score. So the score from the viewers and ourselves is 6.49, which is disgraceful. Sorry, that is horrendous. Not
Connor
even a 7.
Is beef with the voters.
Not even a 7. That's horrendous. Sorry.
Maybe it was like a big conspiracy against you.
So I have a conspiracy against Poland. You have a conspiracy against people ranging their numbers from 6 to 6.5 for the spreadsheet. So they're both targeting us.
Oh, like beef. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ridiculous. And people putting in comments and forgetting to put their score. I like your comments, but I want your score as well. Maybe just a reminder, guys. Don't forget to put the score.
Why do you think that was so low?
So it's weird.
Like, do you find it low? I find it quite low.
I think so, yeah. Well, like, considering comps. Okay, so bear with me here now, because our spreadsheet is color-coded, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Thanks to Michal's mastermindation last year. And so when a song gets a really high score, 9 to 10, it gets, like, a red. The more middling scores are, like, orangey-yellow. And the bottom scores are kind of greeny-blue-turquoise, right? So Norway got 7.005, but like didn't get that many 10s really. It got like a lot of 7s and that kind of a thing. but it's got higher average than Poland. But Poland got like way more nines and tens, I would say, but has gotten lower scores along with that. So it's just more of the polarizing vote. And like quickfires are interesting because we get a sense of what everybody likes and overall like what the song is rated as. But like there is a world where Poland could get more televotes than Norway, because if more people are ranking it as 9 or 10, they're more likely to vote for it, aren't they?
Exactly. And the fact that Australia's got more points than this overall is a disgrace. Sorry. Off you goes with your milkshake mans, lads. I'll be over here with Gaia the Warrior.
I've been following like local Reddit and Twitter, and a lot of the locals are loving Milkshake Man. I'm wondering.
Shout out to Raina, a good friend of ours. Yeah. She is a big fan of the Milkshake Man indeed.
It's going to be a surge there of votes, perhaps.
Surge of something, Jesus.
Surge of milkshakes. So we've given that total, haven't we, for Poland?
We have, unfortunately. Fabulous. 6 points.
Okay, so we've
done
all
It's a 10 in my eyes. Go on, Justina, you absolute queen.
Just close your eyes and don't look at the spreadsheet. No. You're all right.
I'll just look at her spinning. I'll spin with her.
Kian, I hope you're hiding in a safe place.
Kian, I want your email now. I want an explanation. No, come on now. You're a good time listener. You're a great supporter of us. So I know you will award us with that information now.
Let's have like a public debate in Belvedere House Gardens and Park with Connor and Kian over the merits.
I have to say that when I was drinking. Oh my God, I nearly choked. Come on now. No, Kian, honestly, give me your explanation now. You have homework now for the weekend. It's a Friday, so I want the explanation by Monday on my desk.
I'll give you the address for the desk, Kian. Give me a DM there. I'll let you know where Connor's new place of employment is. Congrats, Connor, on his new job, by the way.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Looking forward to it. If you know, you know. And if you don't know, get ready.
You'll know soon.
I'm sure you will. Someone probably leak it. But I should probably say, speaking of new job, I won't be in Basel this year. I know we spoke about it before in the podcast that I was going. Can't go this year, but don't worry. We have plenty of content planned for Basel week, which we'll talk about once quickfires have passed, which is exciting. But yeah, that's it for this episode. And another week of quickfires, of course, is Friday, so we aren't back till Monday. But if you guys want to follow us, keep up with what we're doing, really. Get us on Instagram, Eurovision Podcast, TikTok, Eurovision Podcast as well. We're on X, Eurovision Pod. YouTube is also Eurovision Podcast. You can also email us, EurovisionPodcast@gmail.com. Key and I await your email. You can also follow us on Apple Podcasts and Spotify, or wherever you get your podcast. It is Eurovision Podcast. Make sure you give us a review so other Eurovision fans, particularly Irish fans, can find us over the next few weeks as we get closer and closer to Basel 2025. But for myself and Lou, all we got to say is have a great weekend and slán go fóill.